church. So let's pray for him and just ask God. Father, we give you thanks for our brother here today. And we thank you for a lifetime of service at your feet. And Father, we pray right now that you would just anoint Milton as he brings forth the word that you've laid upon his heart. We pray, Father, that it would touch our hearts. No matter where we're at in our walk, Lord, that you would inspire us to go deeper. We sang that song about the oceans, to go deeper and deeper. May we never be satisfied where we're at. But Lord, may you call us out into the deep. And may we not be afraid to go. Bless him now, Father. Bless his word. Bless our ears to hear and our will to put it into action. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you. You know what, church? You're really blessed. Really blessed. I mean, sometimes we can come so much that we just get used to what we've been seeing and hearing. But I was truly blessed by the worship today. That you have some people, I can tell there's dedication to the ministry of worship. And that, listen, I go to a lot of different churches, you know. I'm there and then they run me out. But I tell them, hey, I've been kicked out of better churches than this. But honestly, I was just blessed. I mean, just know, as in the Hebrews, I was baruch. I was blessed. And I got two quick announcements. Jesus is Lord. And my other quick announcement is, Jesus is here with us today. Today. I love teaching, even though I did on the parables, I love teaching and preaching on the Old Testament. There's just something so awesome there. There's over 1,000 quotes in the New Testament from the Old Testament. If you don't, a lot of us are building our houses with a second story and no first story. The Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament. We need to know it. We need to see that it relates to today. And I found, and there's a story that I'm just briefly going to read from the book of Jonah. Jonah's name means dove. And I titled the sermon, "The Dove Flew the Coop." Reading from Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down in it to go there to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The Lord hurled a great wind of the sea, and there was a great storm in the sea, so that the ship was about to break. Then the sailors became afraid, and every man cried to his God, and they threw the cargo which was on top but to lighten it. But Jonah had gone below in the hold of the ship, laid down and fallen asleep. So the captain approached him and said, "How is it that you are sleeping? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will be concerned about us, so we will not perish." Each man said to his mate, "Come, let us cast lots, so we may learn who's on account of this calamity." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Sometimes there's a saying, I've heard it said, maybe it's an old saying, but you're a Jonah. Man, you're bringing us bad luck. You know, you're hanging with us and nothing but bad things happen with us. But that is not the case. And besides, I don't believe in luck anyway. Chance. There's no chance with God. But we need to understand about the book of Jonah. I want to get it really straight that Jonah was actually a real person. It's not a fable. It's not a bedtime story to tell the kids. It's a real story about a real man that actually lived some 800 years before Jesus walked the face of the earth. That he was a prophet. He's mentioned in 2 Kings being a prophet. Jesus really took a risk because he believed that Jonah was a real man, and he used him as an example several times in the Gospels. That he is real. These phony, baloney, pseudo-theologians are trying to continuously put down the book of Jonah as not really being something written from God. But I'm here to tell you that Jonah was a real person. He was a real man, and he was a prophet, and he was a man just like you and me. That his story is our story. And just one other thing about the whale. It was a great fish that swallowed Jonah. It wasn't a whale. It was a great fish. Well, some say, well, how can, there's no fish alive. And I'm no, it's a ichthyology. It's a study of fish. Yeah. Put that in your notebook. And when you get tested by God in heaven, he will, you know, if he asks you that question, you got it covered. Hey, I'm good. I'll throw this to you. If man, who is created by God, can make a submarine that holds 300 people and stay underwater for great lengths of time, why in the world can't God create a fish that can swallow a man? For the very purpose, maybe the very purpose alone, for Jonah. Why couldn't he? He is able, amen? So, that's what I believe. I believe that God created a great fish to swallow Jonah. It's interesting, as we read this whole chapter, how the only person that doesn't pray is Jonah. Unusual. Everybody else is praying. These pagans are praying. And we just see Jonah not getting involved. Jonah is our story. He's a dove that flew the coop. The Lord Israel, of God of Israel, called Jonah to go to Nineveh. So what does he do? He breaks wide. He goes, instead of going east, he goes west. He goes to Tarshish. Tarshish is Spain. He booked a flight. And Jonah had a lot of reasons, quote unquote, for not going. One was he was going, Nineveh is the capital of Assyria. And at the time, Assyria was the most powerful nation in the Near East. They had conquered just about every nation. They were vicious barbarians. They would conquer a town and cut out all the leaders' heads off and build a pyramid right outside the gates of the city. And it was a sign to everyone that they were there. And so I was making the emphasis in the class about, you know, the real estate agent says location, location, location. It's context, context, context. And one of the reasons Jonah didn't want to go, because in the context, it's the Assyrians, and he was freaked out by them. He didn't want to go. He was afraid. Another reason is that the Jewish people had developed this kind of you hear of anti-Semitism, and I've suffered that as a child. I'm Jewish. But they had developed an attitude that they were the only ones who should worship the Lord God of Israel, and that they didn't like the Goyim, the Gentiles. That's one of the things we used to call Gentiles. Goy. It's kind of a dirty slang word, like calling a Jew a kike. And I got called those names. I lived in an all quote unquote Christian neighborhood in Northwest Detroit. And when they found out I was Jewish, Man, did I catch it. I used to get chased home from school. This kid used to sing this song to me. All you kaigadikels, get on your motorcycles and ride, ride, ride to Palestine. When I would come home and my clothes were torn, I would tell my mom that, we were playing football on the way home from school. I was getting chased. Being chased. And despite all that, I still became a believer. When God has a call on your life, look out, Jim. So he didn't want, and the other thing, the third reason why he didn't want to go is what's quoted in Jonah 4:2. He said, "For I know that you are a gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in chesed, or mercy, loving kindness, mercy, loyalty, steadfast love, and who relents on concerning calamity." He knew that God was going to be gracious to them, and he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to bless them. One of the reasons why he didn't want to go. He was afraid, he was jealous, he was selfish. He had a club mentality, not a church mentality, not an outreach mentality. And that's really the message. What about the church? We are, you know, maybe you will never ask me back after I say this, but we can blame the politicians all we want about our country. We can blame those people in Lansing. We can blame all those politicians in Washington. But I believe our country has gone downhill. As Billy Graham said, the believers in America are 10 miles wide and an inch deep. And that it's the church. We are not doing our job. We're not being the salt of the earth. We're not being lights. I mean, we talked about this parable in the class. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says about you and me. But if salt has lost its saltiness, it's no good even to be, it's thrown in the trash. I mean, how many of us buy, you know, he says you buy a lamp and then you put a bushel over it. You get it into dark. How many of us buy a lamp so we could put it, not plug it into the electricity? How stupid is that? We have been called to be lights in the world. You are the lights of the world, Jesus said. It was like an ordination service. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Well, isn't that the job of the pastor, you know, for outreach? And shouldn't we have an evangelist? You know, I see these churches. Some of them, they had more people on staff than I had in my church. One time, you know, we were talking about Lent. I went to go preach at my church, and it was the Sunday after Ash Wednesday, and it was a small crowd. I says, hey, they must have gave up church for Lent. But the church today is guilty of the great omission, not the great commission. The great omission of not opening up our mouths and sharing Jesus with others. Funny, the sister talked about we can sing these words, but what are we really doing in our lives? I don't know how many are familiar with the Wesley brothers. John and Charles Wesley. Wow. And, you know, we really need to know our church history. I'm sorry. You need to know about the people who, you know, we just didn't get here. There's people down the road that have followed Jesus, have given their life for the Lord, and that's why we're here today. We are to pass the torch on to others. We can't keep it to ourselves. That's what we're doing. We're lights that are hidden. We're salt that sits still in the salt shaker. We're not coming out. Hey, everybody else is coming out of the closet. Why not the believers? You know, the Great Commission is mentioned in every one of the Gospels. fact, in Acts 1:11, it's mentioned. They were arguing about what time Jesus was going to come back and the kingdom, you know, and those kind of things. And, you know, they were having their deep theological discussion, as they usually did, about who was the greatest among them and so on. And he says that, you know, you were to preach the gospel to all the world. See, the Jew, Abraham, when he was blessed by God in Genesis 12, says, you're going to be a blessing to all the nations. Isaiah talks about it. The Psalms talk about it. They were to be a blessing. You were to be a kingdom of priests. And that's what we've been called to do, to be kingdom of priests before the living God. And see, what's happened is it's a gradual thing. I remember when I first started following Jesus in 1969. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I'm a Woodstock veteran. Yes, I went to Woodstock. And I was looking for the Nirvana experience, and Nirvana wasn't even around at that time. Kurt Cobain was not singing. But I went there looking for that experience, that, you know, and it was my hunger for God that God had planted in my heart. And I remember when I gave my life to the Lord. Being Jewish, I thought Jesus lived in the church and he sent out Gentiles to go beat up Jews. So I didn't want anything to do with church. And some friends of mine got saved. They got delivered from their addictions. In fact, back in those days, if you didn't see people coming around the normal places, you thought they OD'd. Or they went to San Francisco or Los Angeles. But these guys were saved. They were meeting in a house. And a guy was speaking. And he was talking, preaching, or teaching out of Acts chapter 2. That in the last days, you know, your young men will prophesy, you know, old men will prophesy, young men will dream dreams, so on. And it was like he was speaking to me. I was so freaked out when they went to pray. It was like a bright, shining light shining on me. I ran out of the house and went to my car. And a guy followed me, a longtime friend of mine, named Jim Rayburg. He went by the name Smiling Dog. Because back in the 60s, we liked, you know, a lot of guys took blues names. You know, one guy was named Fish. I never did know what his real name was. He was a real trip. But but he comes running out to my car and says, Milton, have you ever prayed? I says, yeah, one time when I was in Vietnam, I thought we were under attack and I was going to die. And I prayed to God, Lord, if you get me out of this mess, me and you are going to be A number one tight. Very, biblical prayer. And and of course, I didn't keep my end of the bargain, but God did. And I prayed, and Jesus came into my life. It was like I didn't realize I was carrying a ton of bricks on my shoulders. And I was just relieved, totally relieved. And man, I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Everybody, even if they didn't want to hear it. I went, you know, I was off the hook. For real. I mean, I would go to the grocery store and tell the, you know, the lady in the grocery store, she was ringing up stuff, tell her about Jesus. I would tell everybody about Jesus. And, it was kind of bizarre. And then what happened is somehow I got on the other side of the horse. Luther talks about getting the balanced life. It's like trying to ride a horse. You fall off one side, you get back on, and then you fall off and get onto the other side. And I fell off on the other side. The other side was, well, I'll only talk to people when it's convenient for me. How often does that happen? Pretty soon you get it, you know. I'm telling you right now, there's no such thing as a secret disciple. Do your neighbors know that you're a believer? Do your coworkers know you're a believer? The people in the neighborhood know you're a believer? Because we need to share. I mean, if it wasn't for the... What happened was when I went to that house before that, I was sitting in a park. We called it the People's Park. We claimed it for the people. You know, that was kind of the radical attitude for the day. You know, and I was making up for lost time because I was in Vietnam and I wanted to, you know, catch up with my buddies. Because, I mean, I was smoking dope in Nam, but, I mean, these guys were getting high and trying to be somebody. And so I was sitting in the park and we were smoking a joint, me and this other guy. And these guys come up, start talking to us about Jesus. And they handed me a track. It was called Can You Dig It? Again, right for the times. And the guy started talking about Jesus. And I'm, man, that's pretty heavy stuff that you're talking about. You want a hit? He goes, no, man, what controls the mind controls the body. Oh, man, that's far out, dude. The seed was planted. About a week later, this van pulls up, and it's Ralph and Dawn and these other people, and I know all of them because I went to high school with them. And it's about night. We're going to go visit this guy called Roger Goodtime. I never did know what his last name was, but when you were Roger, you had a good time. Well, he took so much LSD that he got in his bed and thought he was a hot dog in a bun. They had to carry him out, the ambulance, and take him to Coney Island. Yeah, took him to Dooley's. I relished that idea. And I'll catch up with you later if you can cut the mustard. you're going into my wheelhouse. So they took him to Eloise over there on Michigan Avenue. It was still there. And we were going to go visit him. And everybody, it's like 95 degrees out, and there's no cover on the van. And there's a window, and the sun's pouring in, and you put your hand down, and it burns your hand. And everybody's got their head bowed. And this girl, Paula, that I've known for years, I said, hey, Paula, are you sick? Did you take some bad dope? I mean, that's everything revolved around dope. I mean, the songs were all about dope and da-da-da-da. But they were praying for me. They were praying for me, all of them. So we look at Jonah, and we can relate to what he's all about. He's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. Good luck with that one. Like Martha Reeves and Vandella said, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Psalm 139 tells us that you can't hide from God. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. He knew Jonah was going to break wide. He knew Jonah was going to take off. He knew that. And he thinks he can run from the presence of the Lord. We think we can run from the presence of the Lord. God knows every word that's going to come out of our mouth before we say it. He knows every hair on our head. For me, it's a short count. You know, it's we need to be salt and light. We need to realize that God has called us, just like Jonah. Jonah takes off. How many of us in this room are really Jonahs? Oh, I was mentioning about the Wesley brothers. I'm sorry. John Wesley wrote 700 hymns. And one of his quotes is, "Believers lie the most when they're singing." I mean, I wrote it down. I mean, I know that that we mean it from our hearts, but it says, all of my days I will speak of your wonders, love, your love in my life. Is that really true? Is that really what's going on in our lives? Or are we just a secret disciple? Are we just playing churchianity, not Christianity? Are we really following Jesus? If people wouldn't open up their mouths to me, I mean, I've got to talk to other people about it. Sure, you're going to get rejected. Sure, you're going to get turned down. Sure, you're going to be considered a dinosaur, a caveman, a Neanderthal man. Jesus says, expect it. If they did this to me, to the teacher, they're going to do it to the student too. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Notice it says, for righteousness' sake, for not being obnoxious. That's what I was when I first started to follow. I was obnoxious. Interrupting people when they're talking on the street. Hey, did you hear? You know, just, we need to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We need to have wisdom, but we need to speak. People are not going to come to know the Lord because of TV evangelists. I'm sorry. They're not coming to know the Lord. You know, I don't listen to Christian radio or TV. I only do just to see how the other half is living. Because I just can't stand the begging that they constantly do for money. But that's my little thing. But I'm sorry, I don't want to step up. Well, I did already. It doesn't matter. But the problem that Jonah had was that he was dragging other people down with his sin. Look what he goes in this ship and he's trying to escape from the Lord, and all these sailors get involved in his mess. They're being dragged down. It's like the addict who says, you know, I'm only hurting myself. Wrong. Why do you think they have all these 12-step groups for, like Al-Anon and Adult Children of Alcoholics and Narnanon and all these other groups? Because addicts destroy people's lives. They destroy their life and they destroy other people's lives. I know. I did it. Drove my mother crazy. But when we sin, we are dragging other people down. We are dragging them with us. And going down, especially if you look at the text, in verse 3 it says, Jonah went down to Joppa. Then he paid the fare, he sure did, and went down into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It also mentions it again that he went down in the, below into the hold of the ship. He was going down, down, down. It's kind of like a euphemism for he was dying spiritually. He was going down. And sometimes we are so deceived, and self-deception is one of the worst deceptions there is, that he really didn't think he was part of the problem. Even though the ship was being torn apart. That we drag others with us. But praise be to God, as in Joel 2:25 it says, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. If your life is shipwrecked and you're dragging other people down with it, and you're not sharing the Lord with others, God can restore you. God can restore you today, only if you want to. God's not gonna hold a gun to your head. I praise God that the Lord doesn't have to hold a gun to my wife's head to love me. And boy, I bet she wish, you know, I mean, I'm a handful. I'm a control freak. I'll admit it. And I told the congregation one time, was our wedding anniversary. I've been married to my wife, Sybil, for 45 years. Only by the grace of God And I was telling the church it was our anniversary, and they were making a fuss about it. I says, yeah, Obama was president at the time. I says, yeah, Obama's going to fly in and give my wife a badge of honor and a badge for courage beyond the call of duty. Put up with my nonsense. But I'm a work in progress, just like everybody here. Or you're either getting better or bitter. You're either growing or you're going backwards. Jonah wasn't on offense. He made it clear by his actions that he was breaking wide from God, that he was getting away from what God wanted him to do. But God said, uh-uh, ain't going to happen. God loved Jonah. God had a call on his life. In Numbers 32:23, it says, your sin will find you out. He knows. He says, whatever is whispered in secret will be shouted from the rooftops. If you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. When the Son of Man comes in glory, I will be ashamed of you and the Father and the holy angels. It's plain and simple. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. Be not just hearers of the word, but be doers also, least deceiving yourself. I gave this example at the class, so if you heard it before, you're allowed to go to sleep or go to the bathroom or whatever. But a friend of mine was a clothier, and he worked at a real fancy place in Birmingham. And he said, people trying on suits, he says amazing things would happen, especially with men, when they're trying on suits and they, you know, those mirrors that just see everything. They go in there. He said he wished he had a dollar for every time a guy said, you know, I need to lose some weight. But how quickly they would come back a year or two later, if not sooner, and still weigh the same, if not more. But that's like the believer who hears the word but doesn't do it. Jesus said, who are my mother, brothers, and sisters? He who hears the word of God, okay, you're hearing it, and does it. Doing the will of God. Jonah was not doing the will of God. He was caught in the sin of omission. How many of us here are caught in the sin of omission? How many of us here need to repent and obey Jesus, to trust in the Lord in all your ways and lean not on your own understanding? Acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Lord God has a call on everyone in this room's life. If you're a believer in Jesus, he says, go therefore and preach, you know, preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have taught you, and surely I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. He's ordained you. He doesn't, you know, if you've been a Jonah, maybe you got swallowed by a big fish and he spit you out to go preach the gospel. And what happened? The whole town repented. From the king on down. All repented in sackcloth and ashes. God wants to use you. God wants to use me. He wants us to open up our mouths. Stop being a Jonah. Stop running away from the will of God. Be his disciple. Sure, you're going to be laughed at. You're going to be ridiculed. I can, in the words of, Wilson, this Louisiana, guaranteed. You will. It's your choice. You want to be a secret disciple? and not say anything and just be a nice. Jesus said, be the salt of the earth, not the sugar of the earth. Oh, you're so sweet. No, you're not to be sweet. You're to be salt. You're to be light. You are to point to Jesus. It's not about us. It's about him. We are the John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We are to point to Jesus. When Jesus is lifted up, I will bring all men unto myself. Paul says, I know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Bottom line is, God wants to deliver the church in the United States from being Jonas, from running, allegedly, from the presence of the Lord. To run away from the ordination of God. Jesus said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. I'll tell you what, when I went to, when I asked the Lord in my life, I didn't say, you know what, I think I'm going to follow Jesus today. No, I was going to try to get high. That was my motto was early to bed, early to rise means there's no speed in town. That our job is to be bearers of light. Bearers and being salt of the earth. He'll forgive you. We all need to repent of our unwillingness to open up our mouths. But I don't know what to say. I didn't go to a seminary. And Luke tells us if we just open up our mouths, he'll give us the words. Saints, don't be ain'ts. Be saints and open up your mouth and God will fill it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Call up the prayer team. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time together. And I just thank you for the opportunity to be here at Downriver Christian Community Church. What a blessing. You guys are awesome. And I just want to ask you to touch each and every one of our hearts. Give us the freedom. Remove the chains from us that bind us from speaking about you, being ashamed of you, being considered a Neanderthal, a caveman, because we believe in Jesus and we believe the Bible is the living Word of God. Help us, Lord. Help us to shine our lights. Help us to be salt of the earth, to preserve this earth until you come back, Jesus. I repent, Lord. I am truly sorry for my lack of sharing your love with other people. Help us to share about your wondrous love as we sang. Help us that we would not only sing the words, but we would do the words. In Jesus' name, amen. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. Oh, I'm broken. Lift up your face. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who've strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow, heaven.
one can cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, wanderer, come home. You're not too far. Lay down your hurt, lay down your heart. Come as you are, come as you are. All it is ours. Come as you are. There's joy for the morning. Sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay.